just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View, and thank you, Doris Day, one of the most underrated singers and actors, in my opinion. If you have anything you'd like to say to me directly, feel free to email me at bruce@bruceallen.com. Rick Clifford is our next guest, and he has quite a story about his son, which I will let him tell. He has lived in Santa Barbara for 8 years, and he is sitting right next to me in my home studio here at KZSB AM 1290 in Santa Barbara, California. Rick grew up in Newport Beach, California, graduated from UC Irvine, and presently Rick is a security systems engineer for FLIR Commercial Systems in Goleta. Lots of world travel in that job, but not to vacation spots. I'm not sure where he actually goes. Rick donated a kidney to his oldest son about 20 years ago. And he and his life partner have 5 grown kids. And the story he will tell, Rick, is about the kidney and what has happened and where we are now. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce.
Well, you have a story. I'd love you to express it in your words, please.
Yeah, the story is my oldest son went into kidney failure in stage renal disease when he was a little over 9 years old. And that ended up a little over a year in dialysis and before I was able to donate a kidney.
So you donated your own kidney.
Yeah, yeah, and that was the protocol back then. Back then, 20 years ago, it was only a family member, as I recall. You couldn't go outside the family. It was a lot of issues about that. Wasn't a whole lot of history, of
statistics. So in other words, if there was a family member that could not do it, your son would not have survived? Or he'd be, how long can you
Well, they call it the best treatment for kidney failure is live donor. That's right. How that medical profession calls it. So fortunately, we were the same blood type, and so we could go ahead with the kidney transplant. And it was very successful, and it lasted, basically 20 years. A little over 18 years. He's 30 years old now.
Wait, so, what do you mean it lasted? They don't last forever?
They don't tell you exactly how long it's last. It's kind of, you just roll the dice and everything works out for you. But when we went to Mayo Clinic, when he was recently diagnosed with going back into kidney failure, the doctor said, "Wow, you got 20 years out of that kidney. That's really good time." So,
I had no idea until we talked that was the case. Young man like him is looking at several potential transplants. Then he had to live a full life.
The medical people, the doctors, they don't give you any specific number. They tell you that we'll wait and see. So they don't commit you. They don't commit to any life expectancy of that transplant. It turns out that we were fortunate and we got 20 years out of it, what I understand. Mm-hmm. And so now Kyle's in stage renal failure again.
Does that mean he's back on dialysis?
Back in dialysis. Just started like a month ago.
So where are we now? You can't give another kidney.
No. And his half-brother, who's in the Air Force, went through the whole evaluation process. At the very end of that process, he was declared unfit. And so we're looking for another donor. And that was a huge some moral, I don't know what to call it. He just bottomed out, my son did, because he's prime of his life. He's a welder in Milwaukee.
You mean bottomed out when he found out that his brother was not a match?
Yeah, just emotionally. It's like it was really difficult for him to manage through. So I got back,
started to say he has a family. Your Kyle is married and has a family himself?
No. This is his half-brother.
Okay.
Who was a good match, but didn't work out in the end. So now we're looking for another donor. And the process of finding a donor is pretty difficult. First of all, it's hard for him to ask, can you give me your kidney?
imagine.
It's not something it's just difficult to do. And the other thing is his friends at Inner Circle don't live in Milwaukee. He's there because of his work. He's a welder. There's a lot of welding work in Milwaukee, big heavy industry. So he's in a kind of an out of sight, out of mind situation with his inner circle.
Meaning the inner circle people he grew up with.
Yes, people that he's lifelong friends with, his other half-brother, my other son, and his close lifelong friends. So we're trying to work that problem out and get them face-to-face with Kyle so they can understand the difficulty he's in. And it's really a very difficult life experience beyond dialysis, especially with the prime of your life at 30 years old.
Can you elaborate a little bit? Because I just don't have any idea.
Yeah, he
I
goes,
just see it on TV, and I think they go in and they sit next to each other and they drink coffee and they joke with each other, and that's all.
No, that's TV. And what the reality is, he goes in for 4 hours, three times a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. It's an exhausting experience. He has to come home and take a nap because it's just an exhausting – he just comes back exhausted.
Is it painful?
It's uncomfortable. For example, his lower legs always cramp up because
– During the 4 hours?
During the 4 hours, near the end, because they pull 2 to 3 liters of water off of him in that 4 hours. And so he goes into cramps. They have to put big needles into his arm. He just had surgery in his arm for what's called a fistula, which is a site where they insert the big needles. So the blood is circulated out of his body through a machine and back into his body.
And the big needles is just so that they can have good blood flow.
Yeah, it doesn't have enough volume to pass through.
Right
now he has a shunt in his chest. He has two connections coming out of his chest into his main artery up here, and that's going to come out after this fistula heals up into a big bulge in his arm, which they insert the big needles into. So it's a uncomfortable experience. And for a young man his age, he's the only one his age. Everybody else is at the end of their life in the dialysis unit, not at the middle of their life. So it's
I'd say it's the first third of his life, God willing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a very difficult emotional experience to go through. So we're trying to encourage his friends and family to, like my other son and his cousins, to step up and solve this problem for him.
Wow, what a hard thing to do, to ask and then to say no if that's what a family member chooses to do. And what residual emotional baggage would follow that, I can't imagine. And I also can't imagine the pain and the discomfort of asking in the first place.
Yeah, it's a dilemma. And that's uncharted territory. We don't know what's going to happen if one of his lifelong friends says, no, I just can't.
So how long can someone survive well on dialysis?
I don't know that answer. I know people that have gone 15, 20 years, but I don't know the answer. It all depends because your body degrades over time as you're on dialysis.
Because it's not the solution. It's a partial solution.
No, no. It's a degradation of your life quality over the time.
Over those years.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time for this segment. I'd love to carry you over a little bit so we could just answer a couple more questions. But before we do, what can my listeners do to help? What can we do?
The first thing is to go on the National Kidney Foundation website. It's kidney.org.
Kidney.org.
And you go on that website, and there's the donor header, you know, in the menu. You pull that menu, comes down, and you can see all sorts of information. Also, in our case, there's a kidney transplant coordinator at the hospital where he's at in Milwaukee, and they hand out a packet to potential donor candidates. And in that packet is all the discussions, both emotional, medical, et cetera, et cetera. And the websites also have the effect of long-term kidney donation, which the New England Journal of Medicine just came out with a study in 2009, which was like, to my knowledge, is the first long-term 20-year-plus, like myself, who's been a kidney donor with absolutely no effect on your life. I mean, I have no effect on my life at all. I've been having a kidney, only one kidney. It's zero.
Just as an eyewitness here, Rick is a very fit-looking, handsome young – I was going to say young man. You're a middle-aged man like
me. I'm 62.
Okay, so
62.
You're not so young, but you'd never know in a million years that there's something missing, so to speak. Well, let's continue this a little more. I want to make sure my audience knows what they can do. So let's carry this over the break, please, Rick.
Okay.
And it is a big thing. I might also add to my listeners, I hope you all have your donor cards in your wallets so that you can give other people life if, God forbid, yours is taken from you. We'll be right back.